All right, let's get started this morning. Our main passage is going to be Exodus 4:18. Sam DeAngelis, if you'll get that for us. Exodus 4:18. Revelations 3 and verse 20. Jacob Salas, if you'll get that for us. And then Exodus 4:18, the second time. IL, if you'll read that for us. Okay, Pastor Greg has defined calling as an invitation to purpose. And just a reminder that when God calls us, He's inviting us to participate in His will with Him, giving us purpose in life. But we have to respond to calling, knowing that you're called isn't enough. Knowing that you're called doesn't make it automatic. In the passage we're going to look at, we see Moses respond to his calling. He takes action. And that's what I want to look at here in responding to calling. It's really about taking action. So let's look at Exodus 4 and verse 18.
So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace."
Okay, responding to calling. Let's lay a foundation. Let's talk firstly about God calls. In Exodus chapter 3, again, God calls Moses from the burning bush. No doubt many of you are familiar with this story. He's tending sheep on the backside of the desert. God calls Moses by name, reveals to Moses his will, God's will for his life, tells him in detail, "I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to speak to Pharaoh. I want you to deliver my people." So God calls to everyone, right? He makes calls to us. Now, not everyone will have the literal burning bush experience. For me, when God called me, there was no bush and there was no fire. So, but it wasn't literal in that way, but there were definitely moments with God. There were definitely, as using it as in figurative language, there were burning bush experiences. There were burning bush moments. There were these times where God spoke to me, to my life, in different ways. And you see that this is true for other men that God used in the Bible. We know that Abraham heard God's voice, right? God called out, Genesis 12, and spoke to him. We know that Jacob wrestled with God, settling his future and purpose with God. Gideon saw God's spirit, an angel of the Lord. Samson was told about his calling by his parents. They had the experience and relayed the message. So it can happen in many different ways. God calls people differently, which teaches us there isn't just one way. God calls in many different ways. Some hear their calling from God in a sermon. Others hear their calling from God at an altar space. Others hear their calling from God in a mass prayer, at a rally, or at a conference. Some people hear their calling in a daily prayer meeting with God. Some people hear their calling while reading God's word and God speaks to them. Some people, literally, it's a voice that calls and speaks. It's God. He does it however He chooses. But then we see God confirms calling. Not only does He just call, He begins to confirm. Think about Moses. God tells him to take his staff and throw it to the ground, and it becomes a snake. And then the Bible says he runs away. So I don't know how far he ran. I don't know where he ran, but he ran away. And God's like, "Come back, you know, now pick it up by the tail," all of that. So God confirms his calling with Moses with the hand of leprosy. Put your hand in your cloak, take it out, it's leprous. Put it back, take it out, it's healed. And God confirms his calling with a promise that when you go to your people, and maybe they don't believe you that the I Am called you, maybe they don't believe you this experience of the burning bush, then take some water, throw it to the ground, and when it touches the ground, it will become blood. That's a promise. I'm going to help you and enable you in your calling future beyond just today in this experience. So all of this is confirming for Moses his invitation to purpose. See, the point about that is God will always do his part. God doesn't just call, God confirms. God equips, God enables. God supplies you with what you need. God gives you what you need, wisdom, favor, help, blessing, fill in the blank. God calls, God confirms, God equips. So let's look secondly at calling reply. Now, like Moses, no doubt, there are many here, you have fought calling to a degree. Right? And Moses fought his calling. He repeatedly gave reasons to God why he couldn't be used. Right? God is telling him, this is how I want to use you. This is how you're going to be used. You are going to be a deliverer and all these different things. Actually, God, that's not true. That's not going to happen. We fight it. Some men, they fight with fear. It's the fear of the unknown. They fight their calling. It's the fear of acceptance. It's the fear of inability. It's fear at work in a man that hinders him from moving forward. This personally was a main part for me fighting my calling. I pulled back in calling largely due to fear. Afraid of the unknown, afraid of the whatevers, the what ifs, the, you know, all these different things, and it pulled me back from pursuing calling. I fought it for many years. Some fight with the question of certainty. Well, but how can I be sure? Well, in the uncertainty, I want every detail spelled out. I want it all laid out. I want proof that I am called. I want clarity. I mean, it's already clear, but you're like, I want it crystal clear. You get crystal clear, I want it whatever's bigger than that. You're just constantly with the question of certainty. And this is what Gideon did. When God met with Gideon and called him, he fought with the question of certainty, which comes back to Gideon and the fleece. Right? It wasn't a question of, do you want me to do this? Yes or no. No, I already know what you want me to do. I want to be sure it's really you. I want to be sure it's actually what you're telling me, God. And that was the whole issue of the fleece. He was not asking what he should do. He was wanting certainty. He wanted all questions off the table. And that's how we operate the same. The story is thousands of years old, and yet we still respond the same. I want proof. How can I know? How can I be sure? How can I? All these different things that we wrestle with. Some men fight then finally with trust. It's really an issue of trust. Can I really trust God? How can I actually trust God? We don't trust God, so how often do I hear this? And I even use the same narrative myself. I'll do calling, but I just need something to fall back on. What am I actually saying? I don't trust God. I just want to get this degree so I have something to fall back on, because it's not going to work. I don't trust God. I trust in myself. I trust in my career. I trust in my certifications. I trust in my business. I trust in my own intellect. I trust in my own strength. You actually don't trust God. I should save first. I should have a career first. I should fill in the blank. Those are fighting calling. They're fighting with trust. So our passage teaches us something very profound. If you will seek God about your calling honestly, God will confirm it. There's some men, they already know what God wants them to do. They're, you know, we put it in a nice package of, I'm just really seeking God. I'm just really trying to hear from God. No, you're fighting God and you're buying yourself time. Sometimes that's what's going on. But if you will seek God honestly, God, there's nothing wrong with wanting clarity. There's nothing wrong with wrestling out your fear. There's nothing wrong with wrestling out your trust. That's the normal part of our human experience. And God's not offended by it. But when we are honest with God, when we honestly say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want this to work out? God, where do you want to send me? He will confirm it. Honestly meaning I genuinely want to know what God's will is. And I genuinely want to do right. I just want to please God. He'll answer. He'll make it clear for you. Moses battled. You know, in this passage, you can go back and read it on your own time, but Moses battled all kinds of fears in his conversation with calling with God. Moses brought up all of his own insecurities. But how can I? I don't speak well. I struggle in my communication. All these insecurities. Right? God, even on his way, deals with another insecurity that they never talked about at the burning bush, but God knows everything. And as Moses is on the way, God's like, by the way, the guy you killed, all those people aren't alive anymore. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't got to worry about revenge. The Pharaoh that was Pharaoh then, he's not there. In other words, he's giving him confidence. He's giving him assurance, right? It's Moses battled his own trust with God, but God still met with him. God still took the time to answer him. Why? Because God loves us. That's what this story reminds us. We wrestle with all these things. God doesn't take offense. God will take some time with you and help you. He will do that for you, secondly, not only because he loves you, but secondly, because he is patient. Let's read Revelation 3 in verse 20.
It says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends.
Okay, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is a picture of God. God is speaking to the church. And I knock on the doors of hearts and I patiently wait. I'm so glad God didn't give up on me while I was wrestling things out. I'm so glad God didn't give up on me while I was working things out in my head, my own fear, my own insecurity, my own trust issues. God patiently knocked and waited. He is patient with us. So God will move with you. And God is willing to work with you and await your reply. So let's close. Let's talk about calling response. Now, ultimately, Moses had to respond to God's call with action. With action. Let's read again the second time, Exodus 4, 18.
So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace.
Okay, so here, 4:18 is after the burning bush experience. The next verse, so Moses went and returned to his father-in-law and said to him, right? He said to Jethro the words he would tell Pharaoh later, right? Let me go. Let my people go. Let I have to go and do what God has called me to do. Let me go. And Jethro released him. So after that, Moses packed up his things, gathered his wife and children, and left for Egypt. In other words, it wasn't a, are you called? Yes, I'm called. And that's it. God wants to use your life. I know. God has a plan for you. Yep. Pastor Greg preaches at conference or sometimes even in this setting before conference. And he would say, I remember as a disciple, and he's still saying, something stirred in me. There's cities with your name on it. So I meant, yeah, they nod their head. Amen. Oh, wow. But that's it. That's as far as it goes. There's nations that your life could open up. Things, places and regions and peoples and tribes and tongues that God has you that he wants to use. And it's stirring, but some men, they never respond. Moses packed things up and took action in his calling. It wasn't left with just a reply. There's some men, you've said yes to God, but that's as far as it's gone. There's other men, you've said sure to God. Sure. You want to, God, what if God wanted to use your life? Sure. But that's as far as it's gone. Others, probably. Someday. Maybe. Right? It's the reply is there, but not the response. The calling on Moses' life was activated in action. That's the difference. You activate it in action. So what is the action for you? This morning, you're here. We understand what Serious Men is all about. It's about men that want to be serious about their calling. That's what the point is. Ultimately, leadership ministry. Pastoral ministry. Right? That's the aim. So what is the action for you in your calling response? For some, it's getting your finances in order. For others, it's healing your marriage. You want to go. Your wife does not want to go with you. For good reason sometimes. So maybe for some, it's healing your marriage. Others, it's fruitfulness and follow-up. You need a breakthrough in personal fruitfulness and follow-up. For others, it's a supernatural dimension in healing, praying for the sick, or praying for the supernatural, people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need a supernatural touch on your life. For others, it's just consistently showing up to prayer. Consistently reading your Bible. Consistently studying your Bible. Consistently being in Serious Men. Consistently laboring and working towards your calling, what you know God has called you to. You have to activate your calling. For years, personally, I knew I was called. I knew I was called for many, many years. God had settled that issue in my life, in my heart, different sermons, different conferences, different rallies. It just was clear. But I can tell you the day I activated my calling. Because for years I was a yes, I was a sure, I was a probably, I was a maybe. Invert all of that, probably more, is how it looked. But the day I activated my calling by responding to it, for me personally, I was about to begin the RN program. I was going to commit the next 4 years of my life to school. And in that orientation class, the instructor said these words, talking about the pros and cons of the program, talking about the demand of the program. She said, at the end of the day, this is going to have to be a calling. When she said those words, God spoke to me And he asked me a question, what are you called to? What are you called to? I knew it wasn't where I was at. I knew it wasn't the thing I was about to commit my life to. I knew it wasn't all the plans that I had made, all the fallbacks I had orchestrated and organized. What am I called to? I'm called to preach the gospel. I got up. I walked out of that orientation class. I unenrolled from the program. I told my wife, I'm going to pursue ministry. I'm going to do the will of God. I told my pastor the next service, Pastor Greg, I want you to disciple me. I'm going to be a preacher of the gospel. I told my bosses at work at the next annual review, because in the ER, in a very professional environment, they want to know what's your 1-year plan, what's your 5-year plan, what's your 10-year plan. That was in every annual review. And they look back at what you said before and look at what you've accomplished. And I had accomplished all my goals in various reviews leading up. And so they said, so the RN program, that was your goal last time we spoke. What did you do with that? I said, yes, absolutely. I enrolled. I was able to get financial aid. I was able to get this and that. All these things set in motion. I said, great. So when do you start? I said, I unenrolled. I unenrolled because I'm going to pursue my true calling. I'm going to become a pastor. And it wasn't a shock. My testimony had been established by that point. Side note here. In pursuing my calling, in shift work, you don't get a very good schedule. There's certain demands in shift work. But I presented to my bosses the School of Christian Fellowship Ministries. I included Serious Men's Class, Sunday School, Sunday Morning, Sunday Night, Wednesday Night, Saturday Outreach, Saturday 180s, and Community Outreach. And you favor school, favor my school. And you know what? They did. My last two rotations of scheduling was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. I had Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays off. That doesn't happen in shift work. But God made a way. God got involved in my response. So I'd made all of those decisions, and in 2 years, my wife and I, we went on staff as concert director and took our first church in 2012. God got involved. God helped me, but I had to activate my calling. More than a reply, there had to be a response. We're about to go into a new year. We're about to go into a new season. Turn the page from this. This is our last Sunday of this month, of this year. Are you going to activate your calling? Are you going to take it from a reply to a response? Are you going to take it from an acknowledgement to an activation? That's a decision you can make. I want us to just pray very quickly this morning. Father God, I lift up each and every one of these men before your throne of grace. God, I know in this room right now there is destiny. God, there is purpose and usefulness. I rebuke right now every weapon of fear. God, I cast down the arguments that would bring uncertainty. God, I pray heal right now trust in the hearts of these men, that they will trust you with their future, trust you with their calling. In Jesus' mighty name, God, as we go into a new year, let calling be activated in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's open it up for some questions. Yeah, David.
So you mentioned responding, of course, but how do you know, I mean, obviously you're supposed to respond with action, like you said, but how do you know that you're responding with enough action?
With enough action, I think it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's not a measurable, it's going to be individual, right? So there were things, and you raise a good point, is, you know, that decision in the RN orientation was the first of many. That was the first activation. But after that, I had to continue responding to God. I had to continue and keep that activation alive. I had to show up. So what happens, David, is some men are fast growers, some men are slow growers, right? When my brother-in-law, Tim Miller, now a missionary in Nepal, when he activated his calling, they became concert directors in a very, very short window of time. His calling, everything unlocked very quickly. For me, I was a slower grower, and that's okay. But at the end of the day, you should be seeing evidence of change, evidence of shift, evidence of growing in conviction, evidence of growing in Bible reading, prayer life, right? From where I started to where I am today, it all looks different, and there's still an activation, right? I still have to show up. Now it's not just autopilot. There still are altars and questions from God, just like there was way back then. Yeah. So I think it's not a measurable, but you should be able to see evidence, right? Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. So what's the fruit of your life in the arena of calling? Yeah. Good. Yeah, Sean.
So you mentioned that fear held you back quite a bit in your calling. What were some of those practical steps that you took to overcome those fears?
Well, little by little, God showed himself, proved himself faithful, right? So number one, prayer. I had to identify the hindrance. So I didn't know it was fear. I couldn't say what it was. But then it was just like revelation. Maybe it was a sermon. Maybe it was a serious man. Maybe it was, you know, fill in the blank, numbers of ways. It's like, oh, it's fear. I'm afraid. So I need to deal with that, right? Oh, it's an insecurity. I'm a planner. I liked things planned out. But I was also very rigid, where if a plan didn't pan out how it should have, whole day's ruined. Like, we were supposed to leave at 8 o'clock. We're leaving at 8:02. It's ruined. The whole day's done. It's like, it's 2 minutes. But all of that was because I had to have everything lined out. That's a very rigid way to live. That was a struggle. It was a hindrance. Came back to control and uncertainty. Trust, all of that came by revelation. So that's the first thing. So I had to become aware. So God, make me aware. I think that's a valid prayer of what is hindering me. For some, it's fear, uncertainty, trust. There can be a million other things. Others, it's money, which fall under those same categories, but it manifests a different way. That's the first thing. The second thing is I had to get to know God better. I didn't know what I didn't know about God. Why? Because there was a lot I really didn't involve him in. I didn't really understand. I didn't really get. But the more I learned about who God was and is, the more I learned about myself. And the more I learned about what he was capable of. And as he began to bless and give breakthrough in areas, I did what my pastor taught us. I rehearsed those miracles, right? They're transferable. David said, I fought the lion, I fought the bear. I can fight this Philistine. So as I began to get miracles and breakthroughs, I rehearsed them. God, and remember them. God, if you can do that here, then you can do it there. And that was, again, coming back to knowing more about God, knowing who God is, getting into his word. And that was a big game changer. So prayer, reading our Bible, or reading your Bible, and then I would say responding to altars. That was huge for me. In pride, again, I didn't recognize it as pride, but it was pride. I would not yield and surrender and humble myself to God at an altar. I did at salvation, but I didn't, you know, moving forward. And really, those altars, what it does is the altar is supernatural. And it solidified things. It gave sermons a shelf life in my heart, lasted longer. And so really it was, just in response. So God began to heal those things. Now, was it all worked out? Was it all wrung out by the time I got sent out? No. Pastor Greg often says, ministry is going from one terrifying thing to another. And it's absolutely true. The load gets greater, the responsibility gets greater, the demand maybe gets greater, the consequences get greater, you know? And so it's one terrifying thing to another, but I've learned that I can trust God, which is ultimately what all those come back to. Yep, good. Robert, you had a question?
When you, before you made that shift to activate your calling, were you like knowing that you wanted to just be in ministry, do something for God, or did you specifically zero in that, no, I want to be pastoral ministry?
No, I knew I was called to pastoral ministry. Yeah, I knew I was. Again, I had every excuse of why I wasn't sure about it. Well, how can I be sure? I mean, what if it was just emotion? What if it was just, how can I say for certain? All of that really came back to fear, insecurity, and trust. And so when I settled the decision, it wasn't just yes or one day. That's really what it was. I'll do your will, God, one day. I was the son that didn't go out into the field, right? Yes, I'll do it, but I never went out. I never did what was required. And so in that moment, activating my calling, I wasn't all of a sudden, God's like, what are you called to? I was like, oh, is that you, God? I'm called to pastor. Oh, what am I doing here? I knew exactly what was going on. I was buying myself time, and I was trusting in myself. So it wasn't a question of, am I called? I already knew I was. It was the issue of activating it, not something I could do, what I will do. Yep. Good. Good,
Pastor,
good.
Do you find activating certain levels of calling or levels of different, of just levels of ministry? That there's certain things that you do that opened it for the next step or the next level of
I wouldn't say that it's like a level in the sense of somehow you do just enough or just the right, but I do believe in preparation, absolutely.
Okay.
And God definitely, in my discipleship experience, God was working things in and working things out that prepared me for concert director ministry. And in that season, and working with people and the demands and the scheduling and all that's encompassed in it. I mean, you've lived it, so it prepares you for the next chapter, which for us was Santa Fe. So all of that encompassed, now bring in New Mexico, prepared me for Rochester. All of that encompassed prepared me for Prescott, and Prescott is preparing me for whatever the next chapter is, whatever that looks like. God is always preparing and expanding. Now, that's the goal, or maybe that's the possibility. Let's say, put it that way. That's the possibility. There are some that they don't take and grow, and right? You see some men, they've been in a city for 25 years, and they've had the same 30 people they've had those 25 years. There's something stunting that. But I believe God wants to prepare and equip for greater. That's always what God is doing, more. He's the God of more, not just enough, more than enough. So in every arena of life, I believe God wants to prepare us, yes, if we're learning the lessons and applying them. Right?
That's our responsibility.
That's our responsibility. Yep. Good. Yes, Pastor Hart.
Do you feel like the burning bush moment for you? You mentioned you were in an orientation, and it wasn't that you again saw a burning bush, but it was when God asked you. You know, the calling.
Yeah.
And so those are, for me, when I begin to think about the calling of God, those are moments where trust becomes a reality because you knew it was God.
Yeah.
And he reveals to you in those moments that, you know, there is a supernatural dimension that parallels your life.
Mm-hmm.
When he speaks like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you get a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and it carries you to that next moment.
Right.
Which you've mentioned at various times in your own life, that those are things, aren't they, that we become dependent upon in the call of God.
Yeah, they become reference points, is what they become. And that's why it's good to rehearse. Again, I learned that from my pastor. Every time Pastor Greg goes and preaches the Perth conference, he goes and visits reference points. What is he doing? He's rehearsing and remembering, God, you met with me here. God, you helped me here. You spoke to me here. I won my first convert here. All these different things. The reference points. I have, when I first started pursuing ministry, pursuing my calling, I would hear his stories and say, God, I want to know you like that. And as God began to show himself real to me, like my pastor's stories, I have my own. I'm not living on his experiences. I have my own now, but I've also learned the art and the skill of remembering and rehearsing. It's very important all throughout ministry. Remember and rehearse. Those are very important. And like you're saying, they become reference points. So you can point to and say, that was God. That was God helping there. He'll help me today or in my future, my tomorrow. Yep. Good. Very good. So practical decisions to activate your calling is what that's going to be. What that's going to come down to. And again, this was one moment, but there were many moments before, and there have been many moments since where I activate or make a decision about calling. Good. Any other questions? All righty. Well, we'll stop right there. Appreciate your time, guys.